Choir directors are creative, resourceful, dedicated, and sometimes completely out of ideas. Not to worry, the Choir Ninja Podcast is here with solutions you never saw coming. Get ready for some training, wisdom, and inspiration from the masters. Let Ryan Guth guide your journey to becoming a choir ninja.
Hey there, Choir Nation, and hey, Stevie.
Hey, Ryan.
Well, I am very happy to have you, Stevie, today, and of course, Choir Nation always loves it when you're here. So this is going to be a little conversation between Stevie and I that discusses the difference between people who are achieve greatly, high achievers, and those who only have the desire to achieve, but potentially not the execution. And
right. I think everybody wants to be great at their job. Everybody wants to be, if not the best in the world at something, at least the best they can be at whatever it is that they're doing. But clearly, a lot of people aren't. Some people are, but most people aren't. So what makes the difference?
Well, absolutely. You know, we sit in maybe continuing education classes or meetings and whatever, and we're constantly comparing ourselves to those other people in the room. And at least some people would just like to be the best at something in the room, whether it's making Google Sheets, you know, or whether it's leading a choir of a particular age group, or, you know, everybody wants to be the best. You know, they all have the desire to be the best at something at some point.
And as directors, it's our job to facilitate for everybody who's in our ensembles or in our classes. We can help them achieve at a high level, or we can just let them coast by.
Right. And of course, yeah. You have students in your ensembles that want to achieve highly as well. And they are, unfortunately, in the generation where they are comparing themselves to others all the time. So they really have an incentive to achieve, because that's the next Facebook post or Instagram post or Snapchat story. And, you know, I mean, if there's always students who are going to come up to you and say, how do we do? You know, or if it's at a music performance assessment, were we better than the other choir? Now, of course, whether that matters to you or not is a whole different story. But everybody has this desire to be a high achiever, but there's definitely a difference between those who actually achieve at a high level and those who just wish to achieve at a high level. So that's what we're talking about
right
today.
Yeah, desire's not enough. And I'm reading a book right now about this, and you had something that you saw that was kind of on the same topic.
And we're going to talk about that in just one moment, because first, we need to thank a couple high achievers that sponsor this show. Now, the first one is mymusicfolders.com. Now, we're going to take a couple seconds just to talk about them. Mymusicfolders.com is the single best place for you to go when you need folders for your ensemble. It's run by a couple named John and Robin Rose. They're up in Montana, the land of high achievement, and they are top-notch at delivering high-quality customer service. I mean, they are always in the research and development phase of some new innovation in the world of music folders. Like, if you thought the music folder world was out of innovation, it's not. There's more coming along, and there's a high diversity of variety in their product offerings. They have something for all the different price points, and they even have a special leather, like real leather folders for directors.
Now, I just joined my church choir a month ago, and this is the first time I've joined a choir in my life. So I finally get what the deal is about the music folders, because I really didn't before. I just thought it just held your music. But the things like the hand strap and the pencil holder, and it just, you know, every little thing, it actually makes it a whole lot easier and more convenient. So I'm finally completely on board. I understand what the difference is now.
Yeah. Well, and Glinda needs a place to put her tissues, right? Of course. And, you know, you also need to keep everything in one place. You know, when you have students that are coming in regularly and they're like, can I have another copy of music? Well, it's because they don't have a place to put it that is a dedicated place, like a music folder that is for choir. Now, I've always told my students, you need one black folder. If I'm not going to provide it for you, you need one black folder that is dedicated to choir, period. You can hole punch your music. I don't mind if you hole punch your music. You know, you can do whatever you want, but it needs to be all together in one folder. Now, of course, if you have a beautiful music folder with either, with the name of your choir on the front, or even if you require your students to purchase folders of their own and they have their name on them, there's like a sense of pride that goes along with it. And they're going to want to keep their folder in good organization. They're going to want to, have a folder that is dedicated to choir because they're proud of it. And I mean, it's this whole thing. It's so much better than going to Walmart and buying a binder, So Stevie gets it. I hope you get it. MyMusicFolders.com is the name of the company, and they will give you the highest volume discount for any order if you type in the promo code NINJA at checkout, or if you are speaking with them on the phone or via email, just let them know that you heard about us on the Choir Ninja podcast. So that's mymusicfolders.com. And of course, we also have sightreadingfactory.com, which is another amazing piece of software that allows our members of Choir Nation who use it to create sight reading examples based on specifications that they choose. You might want an 8-measure example in the key of F for a SSA treble choir that is in 6/8 time with a difficulty level of 4. You just select those parameters, hit generate, and there you go. You get your, it takes less than a second, and it will generate this example that you can project. You can also assign to students via their very own student accounts. And then you can hit generate as much as you want, and you will get this unlimited stream of examples that are based on an algorithm on those parameters that you choose. It's insane. It's cheap. And every student of yours should have it as well. So
that's like straight up unicorn leprechaun stuff happening right there. That gets into the realm of magic as far as I'm...
Yeah, this is the most like 21st century piece of technology as far as choir is concerned that I know. I mean, it really is incredible. So if you want to use sightreadingfactory.com, just go over there and type in the promo code NINJA when you check out. Currently, the price of Sight Reading Factory is like $35 for the entire year. And you can use that account and project these examples on a smart board or a video projector. And if you want to add student accounts to that, what you can do is add that into your cart as well. Use that promo code NINJA and then your students will be able to take assessments at home. You could have them do a particular sight reading example at home, and then it will record them, and it'll drop that file in a little Dropbox for you to grade it later on. So if you want 10 free student accounts to try that whole feature out, you can do that by entering the promo code NINJA when you check out. All right, so that is it. MyMusicFolders.com and Sight Reading Factory. So, okay, Stevie, what book are you reading right now?
Okay, it's called Grit, and it's by Angela Duckworth. And you may have been seeing it around. There's this great TED Talk that she's done about it. I got to see her speak at something called the Global Leadership Summit a couple of months ago, and hearing her speak about this topic, it was just so exciting and motivating. The idea that expert status is not there's a degree of talent, there's a degree of luck, there's a degree of opportunity, but for the most part, it's a degree of effort. And I found that very encouraging. And she sets out this entire recipe on how to do it. She's been doing this research for years and years. And all of it, she's working now with, she works with the NFL. She works with Fortune 500 companies. talking to them about this concept of grit. And for her, the idea grit, this is passion plus perseverance over a length of time. And that is the single greatest predictor of success and achievement.
Okay. Now we're going to get into this more. I want to explain to you my motivation for bringing this whole thing up. I was listening to an episode of Planet Money, which is this economics podcast from NPR. And episode 794 is called How to Make It in the Music Business. And of course, I had to listen to this because I wanted to know what it was all about. And it was talking about a music producer named Illmind. And Illmind is, he was a DJ. He's, you know, he is somebody that lived in his mom's basement after dropping out of college. He lived in his mom's basement for 5 years. And at some point, he decided that he was going to start recording the sounds that he uses in his tracks. He was going to record a snare, a hi-hat, a different, you know, somebody going, yeah, you know, whatever, like, and take all these samples and put them in a file folder and just start selling them. And he now makes 6 figures a year selling a packet of or a folder of 110 samples or something like that. Something ridiculous. And now, because he decided to you know, put pillows around his closet, set up a microphone and meticulously record all these sounds and distribute them with the idea that potentially somebody could totally rip his music off, because now they have all of his dirty secrets, all of his sounds, his trade secrets, right? They have all of his patented sounds, right? That, you know, he really put himself out there. He thought potentially that, gosh, they're going to rip me off. They're going to make music that sounds like mine, you know, and I'll make a piddly $25 per sale on this thing. But he stuck his neck out and he tried it. And now he makes 6 figures a year selling this packet of sounds. And on top of that, he has also been on LL Cool J's CDs, Drake's CDs. He's, you know, he tours and, you know, he hears his samples on tracks that are all over the music industry as we know it. If you turn on a regular, radio station that's doing a pop music station, you're going to hear Illmind, and you probably won't even know it. Right. So
I love this story because this isn't about creating art. Right? It's barely about creating music. This is that he did the work, you know, because that's work. I mean, just recording a single hi-hat hit, I mean, that's work. And he put in the work so that so many other people, including himself, can now make music.
Right.
But I like that the work came first, and the work is what's valuable.
It was, and it's not high-level work either, right? It's not the work. It's not
right.
The work that takes, it doesn't take a doctorate. It doesn't take a master's degree to decide, you know what, I'm going to take out all the clothes in my walk-in closet, pad it with pillows, you know, and set up a microphone and produce the most high quality, you know, tom-tom sounds, right, or whatever. It's work.
Yeah, he didn't rent studio time to do this.
Nope.
He just did it.
And it wasn't below, awesome. it wasn't below him either. Which I think is something that's really interesting. As we get more experience and more degrees and more this and that, you know, we tend to think that there's work that is below us.
Right.
And this guy was supremely talented. And he did work that was below most people. And he actually enabled people that he had probably enabled people that think this kind of work is below them because they're the ones who purchased his stuff. But the fact that people decided to purchase his stuff got him in front of all these different these different these record labels and different stars in the music industry. It wasn't the people who bought his stuff that got that opportunity. Maybe some of them did, but it was the fact that he did the work first, which right. enabled him to get these particular privileges. So he like won twice, right? He won by selling all this right. stuff, and he won because some people want to work with the person, the real thing, the person that does the work. So I thought that it was a great episode. It's, you know, if you can spare, you know, 25 minutes or whatever it is to listen to it, I would highly recommend it. We'll throw up a link in the show notes for this episode. We're in episode 134, so it's choir.ninja/134, and you can listen to that episode.
Well, and the work is going to come long before the product, the beauty, the art. It's going to start with the work. There's this great quote from Martha Graham, who, of course, is one of the greatest dancers, choreographers of all time, where she's talking about dancing, and she says, dancing appears glamorous, easy, delightful, but the path to the paradise of the achievement is not easier than any other. There's fatigue so great that the body cries even in its sleep. There are times of complete frustration. There are daily small deaths. And that's somebody who's arguably the greatest person in her art form saying that. So the work comes first, and the payoff and the art, it's only going to come after that.
Now, I can speak to this finally. And we talked about this when you and I talked initially about having this episode in general. We said, you know, I finally feel like I am not an imposter on this topic.
You've been working hard. I mean, we've noticed you have not been around as much as you were before. You've been occupied. What have you been doing?
Oh, well, so this is interesting. So, you know, Choir Ninja had the most successful month that it has ever had in August of 2017. The most listens, the most revenue, the most new people joining Choir Nation Facebook group. I mean, it has been the most prosperous of times in August of 2017. Now, but at the same time, and this is a funny there's a funny correlation here. At the same time, I was studying very, very hard for the Series 7, which is essentially what you would say in layman's terms is the stockbroker's license. It's not the official term, but I won't get into that with you right now. But it requires 100 hours of study. And then immediately following an exam, that takes six hours to complete, something like that. And it's long. And there's a lot of math. There's a lot of strict memorization, a lot of legal stuff. And it's really hard. And I don't think I've ever worked that hard in my life. And really, I mean, because music has always come pretty easy to me, so I think Westminster was hard, you know, and it's been over 10 years since I've been there, but this was harder, and for numerous reasons. It's a new thing for me. It was a lot of, there was a lot of deliberate practice, and
deliberate practice. That's a great phrase. Duckworth has stuff to say about deliberate practice as well.
Well, I'll tell you what deliberate practice looks like, right? So my new career, now of course I'm still a choir director, I'm still here with you guys, but my new career day in and day out is as a financial advisor with Edward Jones. And I can't solicit you all yet, so we're not going to go there, okay? But but I could just tell you, because I don't have my cancel date yet, so I can't start soliciting from anybody if they want anything, you know, if they want their 403b rolled over into an IRA or something. But I got a 12-week calendar from Edward Jones, and I have my days planned out almost to the hour. The entire onboarding session requires the Series 7, the Series 66, the state insurance license examination, additional study, business plan development, going away for training in St. Louis, and then another several 5 weeks or so of additional study and constant presentations in front of prospective clients, with those presentations being observed and critiqued and that kind of stuff. And I'm about a third of the way through this right now. And I never worked so hard my entire life. But man, when I passed that Series 7, I felt good. And I also felt like I had achieved a level of expertise in that particular subject, because of a level of discipline that it took in order to pass that test.
You know who would agree with you on this concept?
Who?
Will Smith.
Really?
Will Smith, early in his career, he'd achieved some measure of success, but he wasn't like the total, you know, worldwide box office leader or anything, but he is still early in his career. And he was giving this interview and he said, somebody asked him about, you know, what is it about you? You know, why are you so successful at such a young age? And he said, I can tell you exactly what it is. He said, you could put me up against anyone and they might be smarter than me. They might be better looking than me. They might be more talented than me. They might be sexier than me, but I am not afraid to die on a treadmill. I will not be outworked. Mm-hmm. If you put me on a treadmill next to somebody else, two things will happen. Either they will get off that treadmill first, or I will die on the treadmill. And then that's what separates him.
I totally agree with that. I think that's amazing, because, and I'll tell you why, in the podcasting world, there are some idiots. Like there are some people that, you know, I feel like, I don't know, some people who I don't know how they're so successful. Because you can have a conversation with them and they're like, there's air, you know, up there, but they make a lot of money, you know. And I think what it is sometimes I think it's just the fact that they're willing to take risks that might to normal people, and I consider myself a normal person for the most part, like that normal people consider stupid, right? Why would you do that? Why would you take that risk? Why would you choose to persist even though this thing you're working on most people think is ridiculous? But they do it and they continue, and eventually they end up being really successful.
I
can count on two hands the number of people that I know in the podcasting world who I really don't think are very smart and who make a lot more money than I do, you know? This is
exactly what Angela Duckworth calls grit. And she says, this is the single greatest predictor of success and achievement. And so her definition of grit is sustained passion and perseverance for especially long-term goals. Because I think we can all be passionate about something for a short time. I think most of us can persevere over a short length of time. For me, perseverance is harder than passion. I can find something I'm passionate about. For some people, I don't know, it may not. But that key thing of perseverance for a long-term goal, long-term goals are tough. I mean, that's really hard. But she gives a recipe for all of this achievement. You want to talk about this recipe? Shall we?
And you know what? Talk about the recipe, but let's also talk about that graph as well, sort of the X and Y axis of the graph, because I think this really applies to choir people, because choir people that are really passionate, right? And I might be alienating some people right now. You know, hopefully you don't feel that way. But, you know, we go to college. We're really passionate about choir. So we get a master's degree. We're still really passionate about choir. We get a doctorate. And then we decide, then we're going to do it. And you know my opinion probably if you've listened for long enough about getting a master's degree, getting a doctorate. You know, unfortunately, it's kind of the way the world works. But I will put a veteran teacher against somebody who went undergrad through doctorate any day of the week because of the fact that the latter person, the person that is a veteran teacher, the person that has been doing it, has had the opportunity to fail over and over and over and over and over again. They were never padded by academia. So that is something that I think is really, really important to point out is that the ability to fail over and over again and get back up, I think adds to that level of expertise so much more greatly than pure education. So that's kind of why I wanted you to talk about that graph, that XY graph.
Well, and the interesting thing is her research is across the board in every human endeavor. So it doesn't matter if you're in the arts community or if you're in the science community or if you're an athlete. These qualities go across every single endeavor, which I think is, I just find this kind of information fascinating. Now, one thing she says, and this is probably important for most of our listeners, we tend to have people listening to this podcast who are new teachers, who are 5 years or less out of college. That seems to be where we hit a lot of people. Grit, you can actually graph against age. And the older you are, the more grit you tend to have. And that makes sense when you're talking about experience and the ability to persevere through long-term goals. So if you find yourself struggling and you're 22, well, then you're probably where you're supposed to be. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't get better, but it does mean that you're still at the bottom corner of this. So if you graph an XY axis and you have skill and against time, everybody starts in that bottom left corner, right? It doesn't matter if you were born with talent. It doesn't matter if you were given great opportunities. If you had talent and opportunities, that's great. You weren't born an expert. So if you look at that graph and you take your line and go up and to the right, that means you're increasing your skill as you're increasing your time in on doing that. Increasing both of those is going to lead you to be an expert, possibly a world-class expert. But we have to talk about skill because you aren't born with skill. Like I said, you could be born with talent, but you're not born with skill. So the definition here of skill, or maybe the recipe or equation for achieving skill is your talent times your effort. I love definition because talent is not enough. Anyone who's really successful in music will tell you it's as much about the effort as it is about the talent. So it's talent times effort equals your skill. The quote that I like from Angela Duckworth is, talent counts, but effort counts twice. And I really like that.
I love that. And you know what? I think the reason this correlates so well is because we focus so much and we are obsessed in the choral world with developing skill. Like, you know, you're getting more degrees, you're going to conferences, you're going to reading sessions, you're going to this and that, and you're only focusing right on that X axis. You're climbing that X axis. But the problem is that in order to get to that far upper right side of the graph, you have to be willing to implement, fail. Now, I'm not saying that people that seek educational opportunities don't do that, but I mean, how many times can you say that you come home from a conference and you've you just had these expert people in front of you, and you know, maybe you're furiously taking notes and whatever, but you never look at those notes ever again, right? Or you never,
right?
Or you listen to the podcast and you expect it by osmosis, you know, the Denise Eaton's amazing formula for teaching a piece is just going to automatically happen because you listen to it. You know, have you gone back and studied what those things are and then implemented them? I literally, that the day after Denise's episode, which was re-aired recently for our Voices of Houston series, the day after we released that episode, I printed her show notes and I clear packing taped them onto my music stand. So that I could remember exactly what the steps were to teaching a new piece of music. And they're foolproof. Like, they're absolutely foolproof, those steps, right? So
I used something similar for my handbell choir. For the last couple of years, I've had people who ring in the very low, very large, heavy bells have to stop for a time because of injury, because of pain in their elbow or pain in their joint somewhere, which is a problem. It is a real problem because those bells can weigh 20 pounds and you're swinging them up at head height for 2 hours. That's a lot of strain. So I thought, we're going to be a lot more intentional this year about stretching and exercise and actually strengthening these muscles that we need. Because I kind of, you know, we have a rehearsal in the evening. I think everyone's warmed up by the time they get here. They've been moving around all day.
Sure.
But it's not enough. If I've had injuries, that means it's not enough. So I went to a class and then I watched some videos on stretches and strengthening exercises. But it wasn't enough because I knew I was forgetting stuff. I was forgetting really important things. So I asked my friend, can you make up some posters for me that have a picture of you doing the stretch and a list of what it's for? Because I need some help. It's important to me and I want to get it right and I don't want to forget anything. Can you do this for me? And he did. And they are in the front of my folder, just like your information is in the front of yours. And I use them now every week because I've put them in a place where I can't not see them. So I know I'm doing the right thing every week because I've got the pages in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go back to talent times effort equals skill, well then skill times effort, even more effort, right? Skill times effort over time, that's what equals achievement.
Yeah, okay? And I would venture to say that equals mastery.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So that skill over time, that's what brings you to the expert status. Now, this skill, this mastery, I mean, to get there, you need this concept of deliberate practice, right? This is a concept that you said earlier, and I think it's really important. And it's the idea of when you go to these great workshops, you don't just file away your notes. You use them to get better. And I think as musicians, we all recognize those times when we've put in practice time, but we were just putting in time, right? We weren't practicing to get better. We were just playing around. Mm-hmm. And we didn't come out of that with any furthering of our skills. So we all do that. And, you know, sometimes we're just not even practicing. We're just playing for fun or singing for fun or whatever it is. But if you want to increase your skill, you have to have deliberate practice. And there are four steps to deliberate practice. Okay?
Go for it.
So the first one is to set a stretch goal. And I love that it's a stretch goal.
So Stevie, can I ask you, does that mean that you are stretching beyond what you believe you're capable of doing? What does that mean, stretch goal?
I think it just means it's not an easy win.
Okay.
Right?
Gotcha.
It's not an easy win. It's something you're going to have to work towards. If you want to get better, it can't just be, I'm going to practice 30 minutes a day. If that's pretty much kind of already what you're doing. If you want to get better, it's got to be something that's going to be a little bit harder than that.
Well, so maybe right now, and this is something that, you know, maybe this would maybe apply to younger students or somebody who's new at a particular endeavor. Because my father, who I think is an amazing bagpipe teacher, and that's what he does for a living, which is awesome and hilarious at the same time. I'm just kidding. My dad is actually really cool, and I think the fact that he makes a living on bagpipes is incredible. But he always tells his...
I do too.
He tells his students, you need 15 minutes a day. That's what I want. I want 15 minutes a day. Because for those, the people that, you know, start playing bagpipes, this is, we're talking about, you know, 45, 50 year old men, right? That are the ones who have a midlife crisis and say, I need to buy a Porsche and I need to learn to play the bagpipes, right? And so these guys come to my dad partially for midlife crisis therapy, partially for bagpipes. And part of that therapy is developing the discipline to do something 15 minutes a day. So like that in itself for some people, and maybe even for your students, taking your folder out when you get home and reviewing what you did in choir that day, that alone might be a stretch goal, right? For some of those,
sure.
For some of the people, because it's you're developing a discipline that you didn't have before. But for us, right. We're expected to be a little higher level than that, right? If we're teaching students music and we're only putting in that sort of 30-minute, you know, time without deliberate practice, we can do better than that.
Well, and if you've got students that you're trying to prepare for college auditions or all state or region auditions, something like that, you need to be able to give them these steps instead of just saying, here's your music, make sure you practice. Like, that's not going to be enough. Mm-hmm. There are ways to be better at your practicing.
Sure.
So
you're an expert. You're an expert at practicing. I mean, that's the why you're in front of them, right? You're an expert at practicing.
Right.
So, right.
So there's a lot more help that we can give them. So you set a stretch goal, and then here's the one that's really difficult for me. I can set stretch goals. That's fine. But you have to focus 100% during that practice time. And I think that's where a lot of us fail. It's so easy to be distracted. It's easy to get tired. It's just the mental fatigue for a musician involved in what they're doing. That's tough. So 100% focus. Okay. The next step, third step, is to get feedback. Not feedback like you went and did your concert or contest performance and you got the judges' scores. I mean, feedback on your practice. You need somebody who can say, I hear you're getting better, or there's not any change this week. Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing. Feedback. It would be great if we could all take feedback for what it is, which is a gift. If you have somebody willing to give you feedback on something, meaning they will take the time to listen to you, evaluate you, and tell you stuff that you need to hear, even if you don't want to hear it, that's a gift.
Well, we get immediate feedback as a choral director. I mean, we hear what is coming out of the mouths of the people that are in front of us, right? So that in itself, if we're honest with ourselves, that is feedback.
Right. Now, then the fourth step, once you get that feedback, is to reflect and refine. That means you actually have to do something with that feedback. You actually have to critically evaluate it. And even if it was hard to hear, you have to use that in some way to get better. So reflect and refine is step four. Now, the interesting thing is these are not numbered steps in a list. These are in a circle with arrows. So after you reflect and refine, your next step is to set a new stretch goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of us don't do this, right? Most of us, when we start something, we practice for a few years or we invest a few years into it and we get better. And then we stop.
They get to the destination and they're like, well, it's like, I got my black belt. Now it's time to quit karate.
Right. And that's the arrested development plateau. That's as good as you're going to get. You will not get better until you put more effort in. As a matter of fact, once you stop putting the effort in, you're going to experience some kind of decay of those skills. That's just what happens. And actually, I talked about that in my last episode.
Yeah, we talked about the fact that maintaining status quo requires work.
Right. Right. Doing nothing is actually just assisting decay. Mm-hmm. Because doing nothing means you're going to leave.
It's like now, flossing your teeth, right? That's a, if you don't floss your teeth, we're talking assisting decay, okay?
Yes.
Only floss the teeth you want to keep.
Now, some people don't even get to the arrested development stage. A lot of people, they try something and they're really passionate about it, and then they realize how much work it is, and they drop out. I mean, we see that all the time with choir kids, right? They just drop out. It's very few people who will actually keep building the skills through deliberate practice and keep that going over time to become that world-class expert. That's why there are so few people out there that you can look to and go, these are genuine masters of their field. Because it takes both things. It takes effort and it takes the time.
I love it. So now we need to assign homework.
I think we should.
I think we need
to.
I think Choir Nation has listened for 40 minutes and now they're going, all right, what now? So I think, well, here's the great thing about this is that feedback is easy to get, especially when you have 2,300 people that are willing to give it to you.
That's true. Okay. There's a resource that we have in the Choir Nation Facebook group that not everybody has access to. And that's an amazing thing.
Okay, because there's a difference between the Choir Nation Facebook group and other Facebook groups, okay? The Choir Nation Facebook group is a place where you're going to get positive, honest, constructive feedback. These are not the people that are in that group are not people that post because they just want people to affirm them, praise them. These are people that will post and say, guys, I'm stuck. I need help with something. This is what happened. This is what I did. Am I right? Or is there another way, right? And
there are genuine masters of this field in that group. There are people who have achieved mastery. There are people who are high achievers over time, who are willing to give feedback in that group, which is just awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we have many of the members of Choir Nation are people that have been on my podcast. I'm pretty sure last week, 2 weeks ago, we had people that are legendary in the choral world. Joe Michael Scheibe is in that group, you have, composers and arrangers and people in the a cappella world, people in the musical theater world. I mean, there are people that have a diverse background that are in the Choir Nation Facebook group. And if you're looking for a particular bit of feedback about something, make sure you write it out. Make sure you say, this is what I did. This is what happened. What could I have done better? This is what I think I could do better. What could I have done better? Right. And because when you're trying to ask for feedback from a group of, 21st century, 2017 Facebook people, we all have stuff that we got to deal with during the day, right? We don't have a time to read a huge narrative and we don't have time to write a book back to you either. Okay, so the people and I'm a choir director. They have time to write a book because they don't have jobs. But the people that are in Choir Nation, okay, the people that are out there kicking butt, taking names every day, okay, they're gonna need you to say, okay, this is what I did. This is what came back to me. This is what I think I should do. Am I on the right track? I mean, that's, I feel like, how you should ask for feedback. And you have 2,300 members in that group right now that are all awesome. Some of them might be from another continent, and maybe they slip through the cracks because they're a spam account. I don't know. But I think most of the people, most of the 2,300 are choir directors, and they are people that are willing to help. Right. So get in there.
I think the people who are listening to this podcast today need to take two steps immediately, which is to determine the area where they want to achieve, right? Identify that achievement that they want to create. And they need to set that first stretch goal. And I think once you do those two things, you know, decide what area that you want to get better in and set that stretch goal, do you think there's a way that we can maybe match people with some accountability partners or something within that group? Say, hey, I want to work in this area. Oh, hey, I do too. Let's help each other out. Think we can make that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that is as easy as saying, I listened to today's episode. I'd like to do this. Is there anybody else out there that feels like they could also use some work on this? And then see who comments. And then, you know what? After that, you say, hey, let's do this together. Message each other directly. And then set up a regular accountability meeting. Now, I will tell you, Choir Ninja came out of a weekly accountability meeting between myself, Mike Engelhart, and Matthew Curtis. And the three of us literally had a religious time every week that we met on Skype. It was during my prep period, right before my concert choir would come in. And
so they gave you that feedback. You showed them your stretch goals. They gave you that feedback, and then you refined.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think Find Your Forte is ever going to be what I need it to be, right, in order to achieve the goals of changing the dialogue in the choral world. Why? And here's the reasons why. And they said, you know what? I think you're right, and I also think this. And they said, well, Ryan, what are you going to do? You know, and what ended up happening was this back and forth dialogue with the three of us, eventually me saying, you know, I bought choir.ninja like 3 years ago when the .ninja domain first came out. And I was like, Choir Ninja, that's freaking awesome. But I would never have gotten to that conclusion on my own. Never. I'm sorry. I would not have been able to come up with that idea on my own because it took constant back and forth, you know, question posing and things like that. So it causes you that, so just having somebody else, it's like a therapist, right? Like having somebody to ask you questions that make right. you to make you understand your thought process better is worth its weight in gold. I mean, it's amazing.
Socrates agrees with you.
Yeah, Socrates. Yeah, Socratic questioning. And if you don't know about Socratic questioning, you know, that the stuff that really gets into the why of what you're doing, look up Socratic questions on Google and bring those questions, print them out and bring those to your accountability meeting. But you know, you have the ability to use Facebook, the Choir Nation group to find people. You can private message them. You can even, you know, I mean, Messenger, you can even have an audio discussion or a video discussion on there. And you can do it just, you know, do it once a week. And until you get to that goal. And of course, once you get to that goal, you're going to need to assign another one. And maybe you find a new partner at that point, or maybe you keep the same one. So
I kind of think, since this is all about achieving goals over a long period of time, I kind of think we need to follow up in a couple of months. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do that. And I think we're going to have to keep an eye out on Choir Nation as to who is actually doing this. Because this is the thing. This is a doer. We're looking for doers. And like I said earlier, you know, Illmind from the NPR podcast, he was a doer, right? He decided to do the dirty work. And he is, you know, he's been paid dividends for that. You know, we're looking for doers. People are going to listen to this episode and then they're going to go, somebody else will comment in Choir Nation. But like, if you really have any inkling of a reason to want to improve on something, get out there and say it. because you're just going to gain the respect of people because they realize that you're a doer. So,
well, and your area that you need to improve in can be anything. I mean, life is holistic. So if you want to be a better reader and consume more good literature about your profession or about leadership or about things like grit, that's the kind of stuff I'm fascinated by, this, by these kind of psychology concepts. It just, to me, it's really interesting. That can be a goal. It doesn't have to be directly music related, because all of this connects. If you need to have somebody hold you accountable for your fitness regime or whatever it is, that's going to make you a better director and a better teacher as well.
Yeah.
Looking after your health, looking after your whole person, if it's meditation, if whatever it is that you need to increase your mastery of, I wouldn't limit it to just, I think I should be a better singer or something like that. I think anything is open here.
Yeah. Well, that's also why we pay people. You know, we pay our personal trainer, right? We pay.
Absolutely.
We pay for that diet plan or, you know, membership subscription online for things. You know, I mean, I never would have followed through with the podcast if I hadn't spent $1,200 on Podcaster's Paradise, which was this course that taught me how to podcast. I mean, yeah, it was $1,200. Like, what am I going to do? Not do it? You know? So, you know, and as a, you know, eventually as a financial advisor, you know, when we're in a bear market, you're paying me to knock that, you know, knock that Twinkie out of your hand. You know, you're about to, where I'm trying to teach you discipline, right? And you're about to grab that Twinkie and go to town. No, I'm going to knock that out of your hand. That's why you're paying me. You know, I am your accountability partner. So if you are, did you get the Twinkie reference? Did you get that?
I did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. It was like a diet plan thing. Okay. Good. Just making sure.
No,
okay.
I'm following.
So, right. There are people that you pay for this kind of service, this feedback and accountability service, but it is also free. But just know that it's, you know, the cheaper the service, the easier it is to say, I'm just not going to do it.
It's true.
So there's discipline involved as well.
Less skin in the game if you're not paying for it.
That's true. So if you want to put some skin in the game and you love what Stevie and I do, patreon.com is for you. Now, patreon.com/choirninja will allow you to pay $1 per episode. Okay, and it will just accumulate how many episodes there are in 1 month, and then it will charge your card. So pretty much max $8 a month. And that's just a little thank you to Stevie and I, and it's a little bit of accountability as well. So
I think it's a great accountability, because the more you listen to these podcasts, even if it's concepts that are being reinforced for you instead of being introduced, the better you're going to get, and the further you're going to increase free. And that's a good thing. And if you have made the commitment to put down $1 for every episode, I kind of think you're more likely to listen to them.
Yeah. Right. And it's $8. It's 2 Starbucks visits per month. Right. So, right. If you like what we're doing, we'd love to have you as a patron. Patreon, patreon.com/choirninja. Stevie, we also have Choirs Are Horrible, our new game, which is coming out very soon. If you want to get on the email list, this is basically the Cards Against Humanity for choir people. And if you want to get on the email list for that, so that you get an invitation to our sale, it is going to be a 48-hour sale. You don't have any more time than that. There'll be a 48-hour window. So if you go to choir.ninja/game, there's a very short little form. Put your name in there, email address, and I will make sure that you get an invitation to buy Choirs Are Horrible. It is a 400-card, full-size, professionally packaged, beautifully shrink-wrapped, awesome cards. They feel nice in your hands, and you're going to have...
It is beautiful. I'm so stupid excited about this game. Like, Can I mention the handball one just a little bit to show what the excitement level has been?
Yeah, sure.
Like, so there is a handball version of this as well called Crimes Against Handbells. And they finally all shipped. Harvey gave us some shipping delays that were very frustrating. But finally, the games are all out. And it's been so cool to see, because people are putting pictures up online. This has become like, they get together early before rehearsal and play, or they stay late after rehearsal and, you know, go get ice cream or something and play this game. And it's been this cool bonding thing. And they're putting up pictures online of like the best combinations that they've made. And it has been so fun to see. And the reaction from everybody has been just amazing, completely positive and excited. And everybody's saying, how come you didn't buy that? You got to get this game. So I can't wait for the choir version to come out, because it's a bigger game. It's got a much bigger audience. And I'm super excited to get to play it myself.
Yep. And we sent it on 2 choir retreats. We sent my prototype on 2 choir retreats of different Choir Nation members. So they can play it, focus group it. We can make some tweaks and then get it out in the next couple weeks. So Choir Nation, if you're interested in that game, it is awesome. It's going to be at choir.ninja/game for that form. And then I will email you when that 48-hour sale begins.
And I want to point out that unlike Cards Against Humanity, this is something that was meant to be able to be played in a high school choir or older. So it may get a little PG-13, but it is one of those things that if you need a reward day for your class, or you have a sub coming in or something, that you could actually pull out this game and play.
I think the worst card is like a sensual organist. I'm pretty sure that's like the worst card. Okay. Or like a creepy bus driver or something. It's not bad, right? It's not bad. High school students could totally handle it. Maybe even smart middle school students could handle it. So, and you know, of course there's going to be expansion packs. There's going to be the Director's Only adult expansion pack where we can
One is not for high school.
That one will not be for high school. Okay. Cause we're going to talk. Yeah. We're going to talk about, I don't even know what we're going to talk about. I have a list going, but I can't even, it's so awesome. I can't even remember it right now. So, anyway, so check that out. Join Choir Nation. Talk about your goals, your stretch goals. We appreciate you being here today on the Choir Ninja podcast. And I just hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.
Choir Ninja Show. Bung, bung.